T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We've tried to do this the right way, meaning to me in a way that's deep in integrity and also character. And then the other piece is respect for the Buffalo Bills around the league. And, you know, again, we have not won the world championship, which is what we're working every day towards. That said, the respect now that the Buffalo Bills are given around the league and league circles outside of Western New York, I think is probably my most satisfying piece of it, if you will, as a coach. When we go to the combine, I've often said it's the greatest compliment a coach can get when other coaches talk about how your team plays, how hard they play, how tough they are, how resilient they are. And that's some of the things that we hear now as a staff when we go to the combine. And to me, that gives us great joy.
Sean McDermott, some of his comments from yesterday's Zoom call with the media. If you'd like to listen to them in their entirety, I think it was like 25 minutes or so. It is available in on-demand audio, WGR550.com. And that's there along with Josh Allen and Deion Dawkins. So one of the things we're talking about is this weekend would have been the first weekend of preseason, the full first weekend of preseason games. Will you miss preseason games this weekend? Hey, good news. Monday, pads are going on. Yay. The training camp practices ramp up from walkthroughs to actual pads and contact work next week. So we're getting there, kids. Baby steps on our way to the football season.
One thing about this preseason, I'm reading an article from Pete Carroll. Or no, the article's not from Pete Carroll. It's about Pete Carroll. It's by Michael Becca, NFL.com. So the little war of words going back and forth between the Jets and the Seahawks right now is kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So Jamal Adams goes to the Seahawks, and Greg Williams says says he may get bored in the Seahawks scheme, because of course Greg Williams has to act like, you know, his scheme is great and Jamal Adams might get bored. So Pete Carroll responded and said, well, let's just pass it back. We don't make as many mistakes as he does. Talking about Greg Williams. And Carroll encourages a back and forth war of words to some degree, but Carroll went on to say something else about the 2020 offseason and about this preseason, which is, I'm not telling you what we're doing with the guy. Come on, what do you think? You think we're just going to give our hand away? We don't have to. See, there's no preseason games, so nobody's going to know. Hmm. We're not going to know what the other guys are doing. They're not going to know what we're going to do. So for the first couple of weeks of the season are going to be a little different than they've been in the past, which will be exciting for the coaches to try to play the chess game. We'll see when the time comes. Certainly, I'll be much more tight-lipped than ever before because we don't have to show anything.
Right.
And I saw a comment about this for fantasy football that I thought was very interesting. So the Raiders, right? The Raiders, maybe their offensive coordinator or somebody said, like, oh, Josh Jacobs could be a 60-catch back. Or maybe it was Jacobs himself that said, like, oh, I'm looking at 60 catches this year. You can, without any preseason games and without a normal practice kind of format, you can say anything. The time to be deceptive and vanilla, I mean, vanilla is, here's the preseason, people will look at this, show them nothing. So since you don't have that, what you do have is, coach, what are you looking for your offense this year? And everything that your opponents will get on you is not going to be film, but it's going to be guessing your personnel packages, guessing how you're going to like to distribute the football, tendencies from years past, but never the team that you actually have together. So it might be an offseason unlike any other where you have coaches – coordinators saying XYZ in an attempt to throw everyone off of what they're actually going to do. Instead of preseason on-field deception, it's just going to be misinformation. It's kind of like the draft now, right? Like, oh, yeah, yeah, we want to be a ground-and-pound team. Oh, okay. So the opposite or, you know, like we've got smokescreen preseason through just press conferences instead of smokescreens on the field.
Yeah, no preseason games and preseason practices aren't open to fans who can now tweet out, hey, guess what the Cowboys just did in practice today? And I believe depending on each team, right, there are some restrictions on media, what you can use for video, what can you shoot, what can media tweet out. So there will literally be, well, there's much less information coming out from practices and games than there would be in your typical summer around the NFL, whether it's media, again, or fans watching practice. And they're, you know, they're just sitting in the stands. They can tweet out whatever they want to say. Hey, today, you know, the Bills are working on gimmick plays. They just had John Brown throw it, whatever. You know what I'm saying? That stuff would end up, you know, and I'm, it might sound nuts, but I don't think I would I bet there are teams that monitor all that stuff, that look at other, like someone on other teams might actually follow what Sal writes and all the Bills reporters are tweeting because maybe there's something that gets out from the preseason practices. Oh, no kidding. They're working on this. Cool. Right. Great. So that stuff probably not going to happen. We know there'll be no games and it's very little access to practice this year. So you would think there's a, you know, less of a chance of having a feel for what's happening with one of your opponents.
Yeah.
Although, well, I mean, and I know in games it's vanilla. They're not going to have a real game plan together. They're not going to, you know, they're just not going to show stuff that, you know, they're going to want to use in the regular season. But you can get an idea for certain plays, certain thing, ability of certain players. The young guys get a look at them and see, you know, okay, so what does Epinesa have in terms of pass rush moves? You can see certain things about players that you can gain even from a preseason game tape. So, yeah, you don't have that, but yeah, the Carroll thing to me is funny because, I think one of the things he must've been asked, like, what will Jamal Adams bring to your defense? And he said something about, well, he's not bringing Greg Williams. I mean, like the back and forth and look, Greg Williams can really rub people the wrong way. This just in, so anything that he gets back from Seattle, I think is absolutely hilarious.
Real quick aside on Seattle and then back to the preseason talk, the story about, Kamas Sivarend.
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce it. The guy who tried to sneak the girl in.
He tried to sneak a female visitor into the team hotel.
Was she an established long-time personal friend?
She was. She could go to the NBA bubble, but not the NFL. So Tom Pelissero reports on this that the woman was wearing Seahawks gear in an attempt to disguise her as a player.
I think she had a hoodie on, like to try and cover up her face as much as possible.
Amy Trask had the best line of this. CBS Sports analyst Amy Trask said, if she would have dressed as Marshawn Lynch and stood on a marker that said the one-yard line, they would have ignored her, which was a nice burn on the Seahawks there. But anyway, I just wanted to get that in as we were talking about Seattle. Onto the have you thought about what it will be like to watch the Bills on opening day? Because we are less than a month away. One thing I like to do when I look at something in the distance is think like, all right, this is 6 weeks away. What happened 6 weeks ago, you know? And that'll give me a good – okay, that makes me feel like time can fly that fast, all right? So
it's
we are about –
4 weeks from Sunday. That's right. It's four weeks from Sunday. Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4. You know what was 4 weeks ago? Was when I played 100 holes of golf.
Oh, my. Really? That's 4 weeks ago already?
It's 4 weeks ago.
Okay, that went fast.
That's what I mean. Like,
yeah.
So,
because games are going on.
Yeah, as far back as when I played the 100 holes of golf, that's how far we are from football season. Like, that kind of seems like time flies a little bit.
Did you, and you just dried out from that, by the way.
Exactly. My gear is still wet.
Yeah.
So we're less than a month away, and every once in a while, I'll think about that opener. The Bills are going to play the Jets. It's home. And, you know, I'm thinking about watching these NHL games and thinking about, you know, when Boston wins in overtime, the one thing we don't see when Boston beat Carolina in overtime, we don't see the fans rejoicing.
Mm-hmm.
But presumably they were doing that in their homes,
the
right?
The five overtime game? Imagine what the Lightning fans were doing.
Exactly. Like, presumably these fans are going crazy. You just don't get a chance to really see that.
Right, unless you're the NBA. Yeah.
When the Bills have their home opener, I mean, I don't know, will fans Zoom call together in addition to being at home in small gatherings or out in the, you know, the fall is a great season to, if you've got a backyard or a porch or a patio or anything, you can just, you know, hang out anywhere outdoors and watch the game with an antenna. Like, will we be doing – what will we be doing? How will that feel? It'll be at the stadium.
Yeah.
So that'll be weird. But if it were the road games, won't the road games feel mostly the same?
Well, my Bills experience will be the same no matter what. I have always socially distanced for Bills games in my basement. I think – you know, I haven't thought as much about opening day, and it kind of is like the discussion we had about Hard Knocks. Like, you know, I always watch Hard Knocks, and I didn't even realize it was starting this week because, again, what's our exposure to football? Usually you and I are at camp already, and we're actually watching practices. But even if you didn't go to camp, you turn on your nightly sportscast on 247 or wherever, and you're seeing highlights from camp. Clips from practices, interviews with players, all these different things. You're not seeing that anymore. You're not seeing football work being done. That'll change next week, and maybe that'll be factored in here. So honestly, when I think about the opener, it is less about the matchup and how are they going to do against Darnold and watching Diggs. It isn't really about football yet. My thoughts about the opener are, hey, I wonder if there'll be any fans there. Will there be fans in Buffalo? Will there be fans anywhere? You know, the Cowboys came out yesterday with this, you know, this plan about having people in the stadium in Dallas and, you know, frictionless security and cashless parking and concessions and pods and, you know, groups of fans set apart from other groups. And if you're going to transfer a ticket, it's a family member or a trusted friend who you know doesn't have the virus, all these different things. The Ravens submitted a plan for 7,500 fans, down from what they were hoping was going to be like 14,000 capacity. So honestly, it has been less about actual football because I haven't seen actual football, preseason games, practices, whatever. And it's more about, are there going to be any fans anywhere in the National Football League? Is it possible that the Bills could have, well, we're going to have fans in luxury boxes because those are separated? I do think about that more than anything else, because again, I haven't seen the football to really get my juices flowing for the real games.
Yeah,
I'm not expecting fans here. Be nice, but I do think. I mean, maybe you think about that too. You are a season ticket holder. I do. I do think about whether there are going to be people in the stands, 7,000, 15,000, zero, the tarps. If there are no fans, what's the league going to do? Are they pumping in the crowd noise? Are they doing, you know, digital fans, virtual fans? I think more about that than the actual game, because I guess it must be that I haven't seen practices.
I would bet that seats will be tarped for advertising, right?
Oh, for sure they're going to do that.
Aren't you surprised the NHL doesn't have more advertising on their tarps?
Yeah.
They don't have any.
I was going to say there's none, Jeremy. I know, like, the Jays had some at Salem Field.
Right, but the NHL does not have any. It's still like that sleek design.
Yeah, I am surprised because I think that's an opportunity on television to either make good for what you might owe instead of giving credits back or a new stream. And the Jays did it with some of their sponsors from Toronto, from Canada. Yeah, it makes sense. You should be doing as much as you want in terms of advertising and using tarps to try and make some money back for your league. I'm surprised they... they would have obviously discussed that possibility and decided against it. And I wonder why. What would be their reasoning for not doing that?
I don't know. Maybe once ratings come out for the opening round, they can then take them to sponsors and say, how about a logo right there?
Didn't they have something out this week? Like the first day of the playoffs or opening whatever. The first day was a record day for NBC NHL coverage or something. I have to find it. I'll see if I saved it in my emails. So I would expect that, yes, if there are no fans, well, even if there are, there wouldn't be any fans in the lower bowl right up against the respective sidelines. So I would think for sure you're going to see some form of advertising on tarps at NFL games. If there are fans, they're going to be distanced away from the field.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Could be in the last row of the stadium if you like. I think it'll be safe up there.
It is going to be very strange, though, to just have, instead of the preseason warming you up like an appetizer, just have it be like, boom, here's your meal.
Yes.
I didn't even order yet. Yeah. That's here it is.
Right. No, there was no menu either. No, do you want a drink? No, anything? Okay, I'll take your order, put it in. It's, hey, welcome. And 5 minutes later, here's your dish. All right.
You don't even walk into the restaurant. All of a sudden, you're sitting at home, and one day, boom, here's your meal. What?
Yeah.
We're at a restaurant?
Right. I mean, you know, the games... The return of baseball and the return of hockey and the return of basketball, it gives you that sense, okay, good, sports are coming back. I know there are no fans, but games matter and we're watching them. And we've gone from watching classic replays of games to games where you don't know the outcome. So we have that. I mean, but it's still, you know, I don't know about you. For me, specifically to your question about football on opening day, it is still not the same. I have an appreciation for games being back. I am enjoying them. I think they've all done a great job with the return of their sports. I maybe 1% of the time, and that 1% being largely a five overtime game where there were no fans in Tampa to celebrate an epic win. But I don't think about no fans. But that's why I said, yeah, it's weird with football. Yeah, it was probably the same with the other sports too. You know, you could hear about, well, phase three, NHL players are back at camp. Hey, they're going to the hubs. And NBA players are practicing. It didn't mean anything until I actually saw games. And I'm not going to get that with the NFL. So it might be whatever that Monday is, September. What's that Monday of? Well, it's Labor Day. So whatever Tuesday is that day when we're together and we're actually in game week, that might be the first time I actually get really excited for the season.
September 8th.
That might be the first day where I really come in and go, holy crap, there's a game on Sunday. The season is starting. We have real football because there's no build up to it.
Well, 4 weeks from today, we'll be talking about the Thursday night opener.
Oh, that's right. Chiefs and
Texans.
Texans. Yes, I think you're right. Okay. Yes. Hey, that should be a hell of a game, by the way.
Should it?
Well, I love Deshaun Watson. I'm not sure how good he's going to be without DeAndre Hopkins in his receiving core. But I hope it's a good game. And I get to watch Patrick Mahomes, and that's always a good thing. Quick note before we get to the break. The Bills just sent out an email. You know they're doing all the Zoom calls. Today, it's the two coordinators. Leslie Frazier at 9:20 this morning will be Zooming with the media. And then offensive coordinator Brian Daboll at 11:15 this morning. So, of course, Sal will be on those calls, and we'll have all the information for you. Follow him on Twitter, at Sal Sports, and we will eventually turn those calls around and make them available for you in on-demand audio. On your sports docket this weekend, F1, they're in Spain. And when we get back, we're going to be chatting with Chris Medlin. He covers F1 for Racer. He's at the track, so we might actually have noise from cars when we get back on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yeah, we're going to talk F1 in a moment. And this, I didn't realize that. The guy who's coming on with us was actually in series one of Drive to, in the first year of, in one of the shows on Drive to Survive on Netflix. So he's famous. The Bills have Deion Dawkins locked up with a four-year contract extension officially announced yesterday. $60 million said to be the value on the deal. The Niners have given an extension to George Kittle. Made him the highest paid tight end in the NFL. 5 years, $75 million. Travis Kelce gets a four-year extension, $57 million from the Chiefs. The NHL playoffs continuing. Columbus defeating Tampa. Carolina over Boston. Pasternak didn't play in that game. It looked like he hurt himself on their game-winning goal celebration in the first game and didn't play last night.
It's the kind of thing where, you know, injuring yourself celebrating can get you made fun of. But in this case, you can't make fun of him because, you know, he just has like a little hop to the game winner.
Yeah, it wasn't anything crazy.
Exactly. Like, and I mean, good luck trying to tell a hockey player not to get excited when a overtime goal gets scored.
Yeah.
And he jumped up in like groin, maybe?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. He jumps up a little bit, comes down, and doubles over. And then he's kind of skating gingerly to the bench. It was strange. Dallas v. Calgary, all those series are tied at one. Vegas is up 2-0. They had an overtime win over Chicago yesterday, 4-3. Scary news in the NHL yesterday from Montreal. Their coach, Claude Julien, was complaining of chest pains. They rushed him to a hospital in Toronto. He will not be coaching for the Canadiens as they continue their series with Philadelphia. Kirk Muller will take over there. Nicholas Backstrom is out for Game 2 for the Capitals. Concussion suffered from a hit he took the other day in Game 1. Baseball, Mets beat Washington. Jays open a series tonight against Tampa at Salem Field. That still sounds cool to say that. 6:37 first pitch. The Cardinals are expected to resume their season tomorrow. They've played five games. The NBA Western Conference play-in is tomorrow. It's Portland versus Memphis. The winner will meet the Lakers. And the NCAA has canceled fall sports championships. That does not include football. Headlines brought to you by, wait for it, Excelsior Orthopedics Express. He's got a craving for a salami sandwich. Got a sprain, strain, or break? Get to Excelsior Orthopedics Express.
A salami sandwich?
Yeah, don't ask me why. All of
you
a sudden.
You get a sandwich with just salami?
No, I haven't
isn't
had
salami.
No.
Isn't it an accent meat?
I haven't had. Well, I used to have salami sandwiches as a kid. I literally haven't had one in probably 50 years. But for some reason just now, I smelled salami. And that made me think of having a salami sandwich. On that note, let's go to the Wester hotline. He might be thinking, what am I doing going on with these yo-yos? Chris Medland is joining us from Spain. He is an F1 correspondent for Racer and F1 for the Spanish Grand Prix this weekend. Chris, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Welcome to the show, sir. Thanks for coming on with us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Hi, guys. How you doing?
So we missed all the vroom vrooms, right? It's quiet now. There's no practice.
You're just catching the very end of Formula 3 qualifying, which I think people in the U.S. would be excited to know that a guy called Logan Sargeant from Florida has just taken pole position. So, the session's just ending. So it'll go quiet in a sec.
My colleague, he's a big Verstappen fan. So let's go back and talk about him winning that last race. I'll get into the Mercedes angle. But what about Max Verstappen winning that race last week?
That was a shot in the arm for F1. We really needed that one, I think. A lot of people were expecting Mercedes to dominate this year, and they still might. But it looked like they were going to potentially win every race. And then suddenly, even though we raced the same track twice and Mercedes were dominant the weekend before, Max pulled out a great performance. Some lovely British summertime weather where it's hotter and made it all trickier with some softer tyres, just mixed things up a bit. And Max took full advantage, and he's just so good for Formula 1 because he's the guy that looks like he can really mix things up.
Was it? But that, I mean, Chris, that was one of the storylines, right, going into the season. Sure, Mercedes was the favorite, but it was supposed to be at least a little bit of a battle with Red Bull and maybe specifically Verstappen kind of challenging them.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you've been looking at my Twitter feed because that's exactly what I kind of claimed was going to happen at the start of the year, and I did a bit of a guess on the order, and very quickly after about four or five races, people were reminding me that's what I said, and questioning whether it was going to be that way because Mercedes just looked so strong. But it's a bit unfortunate. Verstappen retired from the first race, and if he didn't have that, he'd have picked up a load more points there, and he'd be a lot closer to Lewis Hamilton right now. So it's a little bit false how big the gap is, but Mercedes just do look like they've got it under control. It's going to be tough to turn around from here.
So last week, in the last 2 weeks, it's about temperature on the track that Mercedes ran into trouble with their tires and strategy. Will this week be similar?
Yeah, it looks like it will be, actually. There's an excited American over team radio right now shouting behind me. That's Logan Sargeant, who's just taken pole position. So guys need to keep up for him. He's in Formula 3 right now. Temperature's going to be a big thing. It's hot and sunny again. We're talking, I guess, 90s, mid-90s for you guys. And we've got harder tyre compounds than last year. They're really boring rubber chat. Where that was the problem that Mercedes hit was that the tyres were a bit softer last week. This weekend, a little bit harder, so it might play to their strengths a little bit more, but we'll have to wait and see if that's true or not, because Red Bull definitely looked like they were a lot quicker when it got that much hotter, and I think it's going to be similar again on Sunday in terms of temperatures.
Chris, I definitely wanted to ask you about Ferrari too, and because that was one of the stories going into the season after the shutdown, and when they resumed, people were talking about how they weren't timing out well, they didn't look good, and it was a lot of doom and gloom. So explain to me, Vettel is bad right now, but Leclerc is doing just fine, and they're on the same team. So what's going on?
Yeah, it's quite a strange one. I mean, one thing to remember is in Formula 1, obviously everyone develops their own cars, so you know, each car has its own characteristics, and each year teams develop new cars, and they're trying to make the fastest thing they can, but they also make them hard to drive, because if the car's too easy to drive, it's probably not going to be that quick. And Leclerc just seems a lot more comfortable with the car recently than Vettel is with this year's Ferrari, which Ferrari themselves have admitted is not a particularly competitive car. And he's just been a bit more comfortable with it, been able to get more out of it, he's been struggling. And the fact that he's not staying next year and he already knows his future, and that relationship is internally looks a bit rough. And I just think he's not in a great sort of mental place as much as anything else, which makes it really difficult to find that extra little bit you need. We're still talking just tenths of a second. I mean, it's tiny, tiny margins, but it makes a big difference.
With a couple other things I want to bring up for sure. So Sergio Perez is cleared. Has he or is he practicing today?
Yeah, he is. He looked really strong in that first session, actually. He was up near the front. Didn't look like he'd been away at all. He only missed two races, which our season is so condensed right now, trying to fit in so many races, that I think it was only about 3 weeks off for him. So he didn't look like he'd been away at all, and he was straight back to it at the front. So he's back in after missing the last two.
What did you notice from practice already today? I take it Mercedes was at the top again?
Yeah, they were. And everyone will look at that headline and go, oh, great, a Mercedes 1-2. And they were nearly a second clear of the rest of the field, which is a big gap. But it was just the first session we've had. We've still got the second one to come in about 20 minutes' time. And they will be showing a bit more of their raw pace in the second session. So the first one's a bit more of a practice, kind of in terms of checking if it works compared to how they expected it to, whether their simulations match up with what they're getting on track, and maybe testing some new parts. But the second session tends to be when they try and just get things to settle down a little bit more and understand how quick the car is when it's on low fuel, when it's on high fuel, that sort of thing. So we see a more representative pecking order in the second practice session. So hopefully it'll be a bit closer, especially because it is hot.
You know, I mentioned to you, Chris, and we were setting up the interview that Jeremy and I are both new to the circuit. So each track is also new to us, of course, when we watch these races. So what the track in Spain, can you give us any insight in terms of what it's like? Would it favor anybody? What kind of race you might see on Sunday?
Yeah, so it's quite an interesting one, Spain, because this is a track we come to every winter to do our sort of pre-season testing at. So it's a very good venue to sort of test the all-round abilities of every car. It doesn't really lend itself to one particular strength. If you've got a good car here, this is a bit of a cliche from Formula One, but if you've got a good car here in Spain, you tend to have a good car for the whole season. So you don't really get the shock results in terms of certain circuits, like maybe Monaco, where if someone can get on the front row there or near the front, it's almost impossible to overtake, so you can get a surprising result there. You don't really get that here. So this is probably going to favour Mercedes in terms of, you know, they do have the strongest overall package, but Red Bull have definitely been coming on stronger. There's a lot of high-speed corners, which means you work your tyres very hard. A problem for Mercedes last weekend. So this is, to be fair, it's fairly similar to the last race at Silverstone in terms of a high-speed challenge. So that's where we're going to see a similar pecking order to the one we saw last weekend. And hopefully with the temperatures, it's going to be tricky for all the teams to get it right strategically.
You're at the track. Have you been able to travel and be at all the tracks so far this season?
I have. I don't know if I should say I'm lucky to do that or not, because I can tell you, traveling in this day and age is not particularly fun, whereas it used to be an awesome perk of the job. But, yeah, I've been at every race so far. I'm actually at this one in my role. I host the Formula 2 and Formula 3 press conferences. So when the top three guys in qualifying and all the races, when we interview them for TV, I host that. So I need to be on location to do those. So that meant I was told that I needed to find a way to get myself to Spain. So, yeah, I'm here. This is the sixth race in 7 weeks. I'll get next weekend at home, and then we're off for another three in a row in Spa, in Belgium, and then two in Italy. So, yeah, it's a bit of a headache trying to jump around all the different travel restrictions and things, but that's what you got to do for your job at the moment.
But you haven't had to quarantine then at any of these stops, right?
Not yet, no. So as a Brit, I would have to quarantine going back to the UK from here normally, but I have an exemption letter because my job demands I be here, whereas for a lot of people, you can do it from home, so they're told to stay at home. So, yeah, I'm kind of lucky in that sense. But up to now, not needed to quarantine anywhere. A few countries we've been to, Hungary, we sort of had to, so all I could do was drive straight into the country, straight to my hotel, not leave my hotel, go to the track, go straight back to the hotel. That was it. I could not go outside. But to be honest, the work is so long and busy anyway. It's not been too much of a problem. But, yeah, it feels strange not getting to kind of explore a little bit more and hang out with people, because there's some great people who work in this sport and don't get freedom as freely anymore.
Final thing for you. I got to go back and watch season one, because you wrote something about how you were in season one at some point in Drive to Survive. Is that right?
Yeah, I was one of the talking heads. So myself and Will Buxton were two of the guys that were kind of almost narrating it from a media point of view and a journalist point of view, just kind of knitting the story together a bit. And once they got that out of the way, and all the drivers loved the show and really wanted to be on it more the next year, they were able to get the drivers to do all that stuff. So you didn't have to look at my mug anymore. It was some much better looking Formula One drivers that were talking. But yeah, I was in that first season pretty heavily.
I did wonder that about drivers wanting to be on it. Like season one, you don't see any of Mercedes or Lewis Hamilton, and by season two, he's on. And I wondered just to myself, like, were the drivers wondering, I don't know what this is going to be about. Who knows if this is going to be beneficial to us? And then after season one, think like, oh, definitely, I'll be on that show.
Yeah, you're spot on. It was actually Mercedes as a team and Ferrari both said, we don't want to get distracted with this. We're going to focus on our championship battle. And basically what it was is the way the commercial terms work, everyone got an equal split. There was like, Netflix paid a certain amount to come and do their show. That got split between everyone equally. And certain teams wanted more money for their drivers because they felt they were bigger names or whatever. And they were told that wouldn't happen. So they didn't get involved in the first season, saw how big it was, realized they made a mistake and said, okay, yeah, we'll do that. Ferrari then couldn't wait to be in season two. And I'm glad they did. They kind of saw sense. It's been great for the sport. Hearing you guys getting really excited about it, and there's been a lot of people, certainly in the US as well, I noticed, really getting into Formula One because of that that show, which shows so much more than just the on-track bit, which admittedly can be a bit frustrating if Mercedes are winning all the time.
Chris, you can follow Chris on Twitter, at ChrisMedlandF1. You can also check out his website. It is MedlandMotorsportMedia.com. Thank you very much, Chris, for coming on. It's nice getting to know all these F1 media members. Enjoy the race this weekend.
Cheers, guys, and you have a good weekend.
Thank you very much. Chris Medland, on F1 correspondent for Racer, on our Western Hotline, 803-0550 to join us. Coming up, top of the hour, Michael Jannetty from SpotTrack, and around 9:20, we'll at least get into some of the, we'll let you hear some of the Zoom call with Bills defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier. That's coming up, too. Go ahead, sir.
That is interesting about, Ferrari and Mercedes not wanting to be a part of it, because if you watch season one and you know anything about the sport, you would ask,
where are they?
Where's
Lewis
Hamilton?
Teams. Right.
You watch the whole first season and you're like, oh, and Lewis Hamilton won the race, but the story's about this guy and the story's about this. And you'd be thinking, does anybody want to talk to Lewis
for
Hamilton?
For sure, because it seemed like each week they were focusing on certain teams. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, okay, well, the Mercedes show is coming at some point. And it never did.
Until season two.
Yeah. Which was very odd. 803-0550 to join us.
When we get back, we've got people upset that I called salami and accent meat. Are you?
I haven't had a salami sandwich in years. I cut it up and put it in scrambled eggs, quite honestly.
An accent meat.
Yeah, it's an accent meat. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
We had a couple tweets.
It's good with eggs.
Well, to be honest with you, it doesn't really feel like playoff hockey out there. There's no fans, so it's kind of like playing an exhibition game. Obviously, there's some scrums after the whistle, and I haven't noticed anything that they would be targeting me or whatnot. Things happen, people fall on you and whatnot, but it's definitely not a playoff atmosphere out there.
Yeah, it's just you're trying to play as hard as you can, and obviously you're playing a best of seven series, so there's gonna be some battles going on and whatnot. But when you play it in your home rink, you play in a away rink, and there's fans cheering for you or against you, and that creates another buzz around the series. So there's none of that. So it just feels like dull at times. There's moments that, okay, there's little scrums and whatnot, but then there might be 5 minutes and it's just coast-to-coast hockey and there's no atmosphere. So it just feels like an exhibition game. So, we're trying our best to kind of ramp up and get energized and make it feel like a playoff game.
That is Tuukka Rask. Apparently not, really pumped about no fans in the bubble. Boston lost last night to Carolina. That series is tied at one. The bigger concern might be whether David Pastrnak will be back for game three of that series. We'll get you the full schedule a little bit later on. So I got a salami fans not happy with you after what you said about accent meat. Look, I don't know if we not going to rank sandwiches, but salami's, I don't know, it's somewhere in the back half of the top 10. Turkey, roast beef, corned beef, bologna sandwich. It's not, salami's not near the top of the list.
Having a feeling for sandwich, I would expect you to go corned beef.
Corned beef, I love corned beef. Corned beef, turkey, roast beef, bologna, those are the top four in whatever order I feel that day. Love corned beef. The hot corned beef sandwich on rye with Swiss cheese and some spicy brown mustard that's my ballpark. That's where I live. salami. Actually, salami was big. You know, growing up, going to school, usually brought lunch. Didn't buy lunch that often. Mom would make us just a sandwich. So it was usually either a salami sandwich or a bologna sandwich. That was pretty much it. So we had plenty of salami sandwiches in the day. I'm just telling you, I haven't had one forever. I don't desire to have one. As I said, I don't know why. I just had a craving for salami. But I cut them up and put them in, with mix them in with scrambled eggs, and it's a fantastic breakfast. Hmm.
Jeff texts in, please do an impromptu sandwich draft right now.
Well, I hit my top four. I'm not even sure what I would do for a fifth.
That's tough to do just
although
because...
That's meat. Like, that's not like... Yeah.
It ends up being a meat draft.
Because there's a steak sandwich. There's a chicken parm sandwich. There's a veal parm sandwich.
Meatball bombers. Chicken parm sandwich,
meatball
like you
bombers.
Said.
Yep.
Yeah.
Stingers. Like
if all subs, if all, you know, is a pita a sandwich? Yes. Right? It's pita bread.
It's a form of bread. Sure.
I mean, the sandwich draft would have a lot. And, boy, you could put together a pretty good team. But if I go chicken pita, does that mean chicken sandwich has been taken? If I go corned beef, does that mean that a Reuben has been taken?
Yeah, I mean a Reuben is a form of a corned beef sandwich.
Exactly.
We're talking toppings and dressing.
Right.
Yeah.
If I take a turkey club, does that mean that all turkey sandwiches have been taken?
Uh-huh.
Okay. It's a tough draft
if you
to pull off.
Right? Well, I was going to say chicken fingers. Stingers are taken, I guess, because chicken finger and steak.
Yeah, if you take a chicken finger sub, is a chicken parm sandwich then gone? I mean,
ooh, no, I don't think
same.
So. I think that's a good.
Now we're into
that's
a now
great,
we're into a condiment draft.
That is a great question, quite honestly. I think that's one of the greatest questions you've ever brought up on this show. Chicken finger, chicken parm. I feel like those are two different subs. But it's chicken.
Well, they are.
No, but I mean, it's chicken.
But the only thing that's different is the condiment. So it's a condiment draft.
That's a good question.
You know.
Now I have a craving for a chicken parm sub.
We've had some disagreements on condiments on this show before.
You know, if you put elements together in a mixing bowl and I might get a chicken parm sub for lunch today.
It does sound like a good idea.
That really made me think about, forget salami. I wasn't going to do that. I was definitely vibing a sub for lunch today. I think chicken parm is the play.
I would say I think the most underrated is the meatball bomber.
Oh.
Every once in a while that pops into my head and I'm just like, oh yeah.
Simple.
Oh yeah.
But delicious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have not a lot of bells and whistles. I mean, I'm a boring guy anyway. I mean, it's literally like Parmesan and like maybe shredded mozzarella, whatever. I don't put veggies on it. Just simple, but yummy.
Real quick follow-up to our F1 conversation. We've got a couple texts. Yeah. People writing in like, thanks for talking F1. That show did get me into it. You know, it might have been Bulldog that recommended it to me, or it's just like such a word-of-mouth show on Netflix. The country watched Tiger King and then just forgot about it, as we all should have.
I didn't.
The country needs to be watching. You need to be watching that Drive to Survive show on Netflix. Talk about an incredible way to market your sport. Mm-hmm. You know, just to have that there and people that maybe never watched it before, looking forward to races on weekends and, you know, learning the strategy and thinking that it's kind of cool and want to go to a race whenever we can go to races again. So just what a brilliant thing for Netflix to have wanted to do, for F1 to have wanted to do. It's definitely accomplished probably more than F1 ever thought it could for the sport.
When we get back.
The people that are texting us, thank you, happy to do it and happy to talk it occasionally. And if you are thinking, guys, what's the big deal? I mean, it might be tougher to find the time for it now that we have actual sports back as opposed to, like, you know, a show about previous seasons. But, you know, if you get some time in there, get it in. Everybody likes it.
When we get back, we will talk about the Bills and cap and contracts and what might be next. That's all coming up with Michael Jannetty from SpotTrack, and we'll tap into the Zoom call and hear from Bills defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier around 9:20 on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.